welcome to the Sharp 600, brought to you by Covers.com and presented by Bet365. My name is Jason Logan. I will be your host for the next 10 minutes or so as we lay down the track, get our interests, our insights, our best bets for NFL Week 6. Joining me on the split screen, we're on this side, that side, all the way from Las Vegas via the magic of the internet, former odds maker turned good guy gambler, Mr. Todd Furman. Todd, how's it going?
Everything is good. It's amazing how fast the season flies by. It may feel like it's week 16 for those of us that have been in the trenches all offseason. You look at the schedule week 6. But let me tell you, J-Lo, the older I get, that four-game window on Sunday seems to get a lot longer with the early kickoff at 6:30 out here, 9:30 where you are. Ooh. And by the time we're rolling into the fourth quarter of Sunday Night Football, I'm lucky if I can keep my eyes open.
Showing your age a little bit. Yeah, those UK kickoffs, those overseas kickoffs can start the day a little early for you. It's not too bad for me. Eastern time's not bad. But I will say Pacific time is the best sports time zone. I mean, you guys can finish watching a full slate of NFL games and then still have the evening to do something. It's fantastic.
It is a nice luxury, although in this business you just have to wake up on East Coast hours. So you cut off your nose to spite your face one way or the other.
That's right. And like you said, it's hard to believe we're entering week 6. We're going to hit that first third of the schedule. Based on what we've seen so far, let's go back. Let's look at our preseason predictions, our preseason bets or whatever. And were there any that you were spot on with, and were there any that you have just been way off with so far?
I'll say that I thought the Chiefs could regress a little bit given what we saw last year. Did I think they would lose games in improbable fashion and completely flip the narrative from all those one-score wins to what we've seen highlighted by maybe hitting rock bottom, blowing a two-touchdown lead on Monday Night Football against the Jags? Mm. Absolutely not. I'm not that clairvoyant. And a team that I've probably been wrong on at least through the first couple weeks of the season, the Seahawks initially were a sell for me. I had some concerns about what the offense was going to look like, how the defense would come together. I know they squandered an opportunity against the Bucs, but I'm not thrilled to be holding a Seahawks win total ticket under 8.5, especially if they go on the road and win in Jacksonville this weekend.
See, the Seahawks were actually one of my good predictions. I like the Seahawks heading in. I like what was off on that Mike McDonald defense last year. They seem to have picked up where they left off and, you know, overcoming some injuries and stuff like that. They almost won that shootout with Tampa Bay, which I thought showed a lot for the offense on that. So, you know, if they can kind of put it all together, get some guys back in that secondary, I think they're going to be all right. Miami was one team that I was wrong about. I kind of had higher hopes, maybe high expectations for Mike McDaniel. I really liked the Miami defense. I like what they brought to that front seven. Writing's kind of on the table now, and we might not see Mike McDaniel make it to week 7 based on things right now. Before we start the clock, we're a quick ask of you. If you like what Todd and myself are doing here on the podcast, please rate and review the Sharp 600. If you're joining us on YouTube each week, like the video and consider following the Covers YouTube channel. This is a great time for sports, and the guys have daily content, daily bets on all the major sports, college football, baseball's going on, NBA, hockey just started. They've got it all there on the Covers YouTube channel, so check it out. All right, these week 6 odds aren't going to bet themselves. Todd, let's go. 600 seconds on the clock. With the rapid expansion of sports betting and interest growing, there's a lot more new sports bettors coming into the space and listening to the podcast for the first time. But that also means that there's a lot of really bad advice out there too, Todd. You and I, between the two of us, probably have about 40 plus years of institutional knowledge when it comes to setting and betting odds. Let's preach a little. Let's take them back to school and let's talk about a little the finer points. Become a profitable sports bettor. Maybe some of these things that people don't quite understand. I know this is one of your bugaboos, is the term value. And what does value mean in sports betting? It's a bit of a loaded word in sports betting. Let's talk value. What does value mean to you, where it could be something else to someone else?
Well, the 40-plus years of experience we have between the two of us is a nice way of calling us old at this point in our careers, Galen.
Savvy.
I appreciate that. But value for me is all about a market number that's different than what your realistic expectation for how an event should be priced. I think to your point, you look at a lot of the newer sports bettors out there, and again, it's not casting aspersions or anything like that. A single game parlay, just because it's paying plus money, isn't a value proposition. Betting a long shot at 200-1 that should probably be 500-1 isn't value. Whereas on the flip side of things, if you think a favorite should be $1.40 and you have an opportunity to lay $1.15, that's value in this truest sense of the word. So for me, J-Lo, I think the biggest crux of the argument here is that just because something has a plus sign by it, that doesn't necessarily mean it's value in the NFL or any other sport out there.
Value could be swapped out for edge, I guess, could be kind of your edge that you believe you have. Futures odds. This is something that's come up this week because the Ravens, despite their struggles, are still favorites to win the AFC North, and everyone's losing their minds here. But futures odds are not reflective of actual probability. Let's not forget about liability for books.
Yeah, and I think that's the best way to try and put it. You're going to book to what you already have on hand. You're going to use new information that becomes readily available, in this case, a win-loss record, to be able to adjust those prices. But look through the various markets at Bet365, and if you find an adjusted win total on the Ravens over 8.5, that's probably a better bet than taking them right around even money to win the division, knowing how many things have to go right. So use all of the tools and the betting markets at your disposal to try and find an angle or an edge. And the shorter tenure that you can tie up your money for, typically better. There's a cost value associated with betting into futures markets that have a higher hold than rather a binary two-way market.
All right. The majority of action will come in on the Saturday, Sunday before games. However, if you're betting, then you're usually betting into the worst of the number, not getting the closing line value that you may have got earlier in the week. CLV, why is this important? Some people just don't realize it.
If we believe that the NFL is one of the most efficient markets for a sport that we're going to find in North America, there's a reason that sportsbooks take 6 and even some cases 7-figure bets an hour before kickoff on Sunday. Those numbers have been beat up. We have all of the information. It's readily available. There's no opportunity to exploit a potential injury that you may have known about on Monday that wasn't out there until Wednesday. And the perfect example of that, J-Lo, it's easy to say now, but look, we saw the Ravens open as a 6.5-point favorite against the Houston Texans. They closed a 2.5-point dog. It wasn't just Lamar Jackson's speculation early in the week. It was the fact the Ravens were down a number of key contributors. So Monday, Tuesdays, and Wednesdays, it's not by coincidence that books offer significantly lower limits than what they'll give a player about 20 minutes before kickoff on game day.
All right. 3, 6, 7, 10, we know the key numbers in NFL betting. What are the undervalued key numbers in NFL betting that people should be kind of minding when they're looking at spreads?
So these days, I think we see a lot more games falling 1 and 2, given that two-point conversions are at one of the highest levels in terms of attempts that we have seen in the NFL. Analytics continue to influence a lot of these late-game decision-making. But I'll also give you one other number that I think is worth considering. We talked about for years, J-Lo, going back to the 40 years that we have under our belts, 7.5 to 9.5 being dead numbers in the National Football League. I think 8 plays a much bigger role now than it did in the past, especially in those games where a team's trailing by 14. If they play by the book and they play the numbers, they're going for 2 to take an 8-point deficit down to 6. Or I guess in some cases, Sean Payton kicking the extra point and then going for 2 on the second touchdown, kind of defying the odds. But I'd say 8 plays a little bigger role. Still not as key as the 3, the 6, the 7, and the 4, but growing in its level of importance, especially in late game situations.
All right, very good. And then there's a lot of betting booby traps, the trap games, the revenge games, the recency bias, the do factor. Are any of these worth, you know, anything to the handicap? Or are we putting too much weight into these sort of things?
I think a lot of these things are built into the number more effectively now than they would have been 10 to 15 years ago when you're looking at teams traveling from the West Coast to the East Coast. They're much more in tune with their bodies, nutrition, the international games, and everything else that goes along with it. And I'll use the age-old sports cliche axiom, whatever you want to call it. You're never as good as you were the last time we saw you. You're also never as bad. So try and figure out which team has been over-adjusted, which team has been under-adjusted. More on one of those teams a little bit later in the show that is going to churn everyone's stomach when it comes to best bets.
I think I've got a Barfi bet coming down the track as well, too. So we'll get to that in a second. All right, Thursday Night Football. We got the Eagles coming to the Giants. Todd, what are you betting in this one?
So, you know what? I look at side and total in this game. I actually think the Eagles offer a little bit of opportunity and upside at a touchdown, but I think the prop market gives us a better opportunity to make money. And I'm going to take the Giants tight end Theo Johnson over 3.5 receptions. He has been a high volume target for Jackson Dart in Dart's 2 starts. They lose Darius Slayton to stretch the field. And while I have no idea if the average depth of target is going to be a half a yard for Johnson, I do think he's going to get targeted plenty in a negative game state. I'll take him over 3.5 receptions. I think he has an excellent opportunity to flirt with 5.
All right. I'm going Jalen Hurts touchdown. Like, why not? Do I need to explain why? I will say it's been a little while since we've had a tush push TD. It's been two games. That's actually the longest rushing TD drought since the end of the 2023 season. I like Jalen here to get in, get some goal line carries against a bad Giants defense. Minus 115 to score a touchdown. It's as high as minus 140 other places. Two touchdowns, a plus 500 sprinkle. Time for some touchdown props odds. Provided by Bet365. I'm going to go with Tucker Kraft, tight end for the Packers, plus 145 to get in. The Packers coming off a bye week allows Kraft to rest up that troublesome knee that popped up in week three. Kraft, tied for the third most red zone targets among tight ends despite the bye last week, faces a bad Bengals defense, giving up a ton of yards, a ton of catches, and four touchdowns to tight ends. I like Tucker Kraft to get in, plus 145 at Bet365.
You know, J-Lo, I came real close to picking on your Cowboys for the third straight week. It was Matthew Golden that let me down a couple of weeks ago. It was Mason Taylor that let me down. I toyed with the idea of Tet McMillan at right around plus $1.40, but what fun would that be? Let's look for a long shot in Sunday Night Football, and I'm going to go to the Detroit Lions and take Isaac Tesla at 11-1. You look at his target share, it's starting to increase. His snap share is up to 34%. And there's a legitimate path now with the injury to Khalif Raymond, if he misses the game on Sunday, that Isaac becomes the third receiving weapon in this Lions offense. I love to see these young guys come of age. Jameson Williams has underperformed. 11-1 felt like an awful lot of opportunity in a game poised to be a track meet.
All right, it's 2 minute drill time. That means our best bets for NFL week 6. Todd, why don't you start us off?
So I teased it at the top. It is an ugly duckling, as ugly as they can get. No, it's not the Cincinnati Bengals, but it is the Arizona Cardinals. Why are they ugly? We saw how they squandered a 21-6 lead last week against the Tennessee Titans. Hell, Jayla, we're not sure who's starting at quarterback. Kyler Murray missing practice on Wednesday, but you know what? I'm just fine if it's Jacoby Brissett and you're going to give me seven or more. Arizona has been an underdog darling on the road. They struggle to cover as a big favorite. I'm going to sell the Colts stock at the top of the market. Give me Arizona, seven or better.
All right, I'll see your Cardinals and I'll raise you Las Vegas Raiders -4.5, another pukey wager here. Brian Callahan should be thanking Pete Carroll for taking some of that worst coach in the NFL heat off of him for at least a week. But I'm buying low here on the Raiders after that 40 burger. The look-ahead line before the results of week five was Vegas -7. Arizona, you know, definitely coughed up that game to the Titans. Titans now playing their third straight game. They've given up some home run plays. We like Geno likes to throw it inside. So I'm going to go Raiders -4.5 at home.
A bad team laying points. What could possibly go wrong with the silver and black? I'll take their old Bay rivals, the San Francisco 49ers, +3 traveling across the country to take on the Bucs. Yes, Kyle Shanahan's teams haven't been great with extended rest, but I think the rest came at the right time for the Niners to get healthy. I expect Ricky Pearsall and Juwan Jennings to both be out there. I think it'll be Mac Jones under center, but this is a Tampa team that had a play in Seattle, a very emotional late win. I think the Bucs struggled to match that energy. I'll take the Niners plus the field goal.
Okay, I'm going with Justin Herbert over 1.5 passing touchdowns. It's -120. Herbert going to have to do the heavy lifting for this offense since, you know, they're pulling dudes off the practice squad to play running back right now. Luckily, the Bolts are playing the Dolphins, who are the worst pass defense in the league. 32nd or 31st in a lot of those fancy advanced analytics. And then Herbert has failed to throw two or more touchdowns in three straight games. That's dragged down the price on the over 1.5 here. He has to throw for two touchdowns in this game because I don't know how else they're going to get it into the end zone. So I like Justin Herbert over 1.5 passing touchdowns. Alrighty, that was the horn. Another 600 seconds in the bank. Big thanks to Chris behind the scenes. Big thank you to Todd for his insights. A special thank you to the folks at Bet365. And then a big thank you to you for listening to us once again. Another reminder, rate, review, like, subscribe. Click all those buttons. It helps us extend our reach, feed the algorithm, and talk to more sports bettors like yourself. Todd, it is Thanksgiving weekend here in Canada, and with your gentle demeanor and your regular TSN appearances and your undying love of hockey, I will consider you an honorary Canuck. What are you thankful for this week?
You know what? I appreciate that. Honestly, Jalen, I'm just thankful I get to do this with you every single week during football season. We can sit here, banter back and forth. But no, I'm thankful for the sports betting community at large. While there is a lot of nefarious behavior, there are a lot of charlatans out there in space. We try and do things to the best of our ability. We're as transparent as they come. Celebrate our wins. We bemoan our losses, but love the interaction with the loyal viewers each and every week and encourage them to slide into the comments, to hit us up on social media. Yeah. I'll love the back and forth. It just makes us that much more well-rounded. And I know you and I are always more than happy, willing, and thankful to answer anybody's questions they may have.
All right, a very Canadian answer there.
See, there you go. I'm learning. Honorary
Canadian. You need a couple of A's and your O's.
All right, here we go. I'm thankful that the Yankees did not get swept by the Toronto Blue Jays and that Aaron Judge was able to erase a 6-1 deficit. I know next time we record, we'll see who advances. It'll probably be the Jays, but at least the Yankees won't have gone out like a whimper in the wind losing three straight.
Yeah, that was a wild game there last night, and a lot of Jays everywhere I walk. It's Jays gear here in Canada. So, all right, we will be back for Week 7 next Wednesday, but until then, happy Thanksgiving to all of those north of the border, and best of luck with your bets.